God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, want to not only welcome everyone here, we want to welcome all of you that are watching online. We know many of you are watching us online from different sources. Of course, we have our Rhema.tv channel. Of course, we're on Facebook Live, and we're also on YouTube, Rhema USA channel as well. And so, or you can watch us on the Rhema USA app. And one thing that I always like to around here is you know, if you're here, or maybe you're watching online, you know, take a service selfie, you know, post it on Facebook, post it on Instagram, you know, whatever. Let people know, you know, that you're enjoying your time here at Rhema Bible Church, because, you know, it's one of the great ways to advertise the church is for you to say you're having a good time. Now, if you're not having a good time, just don't say that, okay? You know, just say I'm at church, all right? You don't have to say you're not having a good time. All right, well, I was talking to one of our Rhema students today just about some different things. And you know, he was he brought up an interesting point, and I wanted to kind of just talk about that tonight. He was talking about different times, and you know, especially back in the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, I know that my grandfather had a thing called Holy Ghost meetings. Anybody was ever in those? We also had some pretty incredible times at some of our winter Bible seminars and camp meetings and things like that. And he says, you know, it is interesting because I've heard some people, you know, talk about, well, so how come that we aren't having services, you know, like that today? And if you want to experience one of those services, you can go to YouTube, and you can find it there. In fact, I was looking at something. The other day, I was looking at one, and there was over 8 million views. You know, I'm sure some of those million views, people were, like, making fun of us. But anyway, there was 8 million people who watched the thing. In fact, I was somewhere ministering, and someone told me that I was a YouTube sensation. I'm like, how am I a YouTube sensation? I don't really do a lot on YouTube, and it's because they watch some of the videos where I act like an idiot sometimes at some of those meetings. And you know, the thing about it is, you know, we were talking about those kind of meetings, and some people have even said, well, it just seems that the anointing's not as strong or all these kind of things, you know. And that's not the fact. The fact is that it's not up to the pastor. It's not up to the pastor to bring the fire to the church. It's up to the people to bring the fire to the church. And if we want to have meetings like that, we got to have people that set themselves on fire. I don't mean literally, folks, okay? But I mean spiritually, you have to get yourself on fire, because it's as you come. And, you know, because I can tell you back in those days, you know, when people came to those meetings, they came expecting to receive from the Holy Ghost. You know, and the sad part about it is I don't know that we expect to receive anything half the time. I'm not saying that you don't expect to receive, you know, individually, but, you know, we don't expect to receive here. We don't expect to receive if we're watching online. We're just coming to hear a good word and clap a little bit and go home and be happy. You know, and a lot of times it seems that if everything is going okay in your life, you know, if you and your family's blessed, then that's good enough. You know, but it's not about just you and your family. All right. It's about going into the whole world and preaching the gospel into the whole world. All right. Now, what does the gospel mean? It means the good news. You know, a lot of times when people are talking about, you know, Jesus, it's not good news. They're not giving the good news, you know, but there is good news. What's the good news? Is it Jesus Christ came? And that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and that Jesus Christ took stripes on his back, and by his stripes we were healed. That's the good news. And that the Bible says at the name of Jesus that demons have to tremble at the mention of that name. See, what the good news is, what's on the inside of us. We have the Spirit of God on the inside, the living Spirit of God, because, you know, we all, if you're a born-again Christian, then you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. So I want to read, start out tonight, Acts 10:38. This is talking about Jesus, Acts 10:38, during his ministry. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Actually, everything I have tonight is from New King James. It says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now notice it doesn't say that Jesus anointed himself. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you realize that you have Jesus Christ on the inside and he's still anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power and it dwells on the inside of you? That's what's on the inside of you. Is the power of God dwells on the inside of you. So everywhere you go, you walk in the power of God, and you can have the power of God in manifestation everywhere you go. You just don't use it, let it out. You know, a lot of times us Christians, we know a lot, but we let such a little out. But I always point this out for some reason, that the first thing it says, and I think it says it for a reason, is it says he went about doing good. Doing good. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, or, you know, I'll tell you what it means to me, is that Jesus actually cared. Jesus actually cared. You know, he cared for mankind. How many times in the Gospels do we read where it says Jesus was ministering and compassion fell on him? And I believe that's one thing that's lacking in a lot of Christians' life is that same. You have the capacity to have compassion, but we don't show compassion, because I found out that it's really hard to minister to people if they don't think you really care. Now, you know, a pastor should really care, and I'm assuming most of them do, but I'm not sure all of them do. All right, but Christians should care. We should care about people. And I tell you what, it's going to be hard to win the world if they don't think you care. And I've said oftenly that I think a lot of people, when they go out to witness, you know, to get people saved, and we call it street witnessing or whatever, that a lot of times they do that not for the person getting saved. They do that because they want accolades on themselves, because they convince someone to say the sinner's prayer. But the whole point about getting people saved is to change that person's life, not to change your life. You know, and, you know, if we want to see the fire of God, man, we got to get on fire. We got to get more excited about the things of God. And you know, sometimes we just got to get more bold too, just to speak. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I know they're, you know, want to blame the pastor, they want to blame the minister, but, you know, so the pastor's blaming you. I mean, you know, and I'm not, it's all our fault. It's not just, you know, it's, so are do we come ready to see God move in our midst? You know, people say, well, yeah, but you look back at Jesus' ministries and, you know, look at all the stuff that happened under his ministry. Well, you know, everyone who came to Jesus expected to get healed. Now, the Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the same Jesus with us right here in this room that was there, you know, walking in Israel 2,000, you know, years ago. It's the same Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed. The power of God hasn't changed. But our expectancy has changed. You know, and it's hard to come and have a great service if you're not even here. I'm going to tell you what, because I've done it, you know, now, courtesy of COVID-19, you know, preaching to an empty auditorium with a few people in it is not fun, and it's really hard to feel a, you know, a camaraderie or whatever. You know, and unfortunately, this is the kind of service that people want, think this is like normal. This is not normal. Normal is when we pack the place full of a bunch of people that are so excited for God that they can barely stand still. Now, we also have to realize just because we have a service where people dance and shout and run or whatever, you know, doesn't mean that we don't have anointed services. My grandfather always says, people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. Because you know what? If you can run and shout and dance all over this auditorium, but you go home and 3 days later, you know, when you're all by yourself and all this stuff is coming down, you don't know what to do, it's not going to help you. But what helps you is to know what to do when you're all by yourself, when there's nobody else around, but you're never all by yourself, because Jesus said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you, even when you're in a room all by yourself, singing your song. You know, I'm not going to sing because I'm not a singer, but you know. But, you know, what do you do when no one's around? Because a lot of people, they know how to dance and shout and run when everybody else was around. In fact, some people, I think, just dance, shout, and run because somebody else did. They didn't even know they were excited, so somebody else got excited and they got excited or whatever. My grandfather actually called that a slopped over blessing. If you've heard some of his messages, he says it's a slopped over blessing. You got a hold of their blessing. But, you know, I was just thinking, going back actually to some of the Holy Ghost meetings, and I'm going to read some scriptures that my grandfather used to always read. You know, he read the scripture here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, and it says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, the thing about it he used to always talk about is that we should be hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Not the things of men. You know, and I get it. It's okay to have stuff, but what's more importantly is people. People are more important than stuff. And you know, I do the math a lot of times in my class, and like I said, right now, we have about 7.9 billion people in this world, give or take 100,000 or so. 7.9 billion people. At very most, the biggest estimate I've ever seen is 2 billion Christians. That means there's 5.9 billion people in this world that if Jesus comes back today would go to hell. Which it really bothers me when people, I mean, I read on Facebook, man, all this stuff is going on and, you know, everything. I'm just ready for Jesus to come back. And I'm thinking, you're ready to send 5.9 billion people to hell because you're that selfish. So if you want Jesus to come back earlier, then go out and witness to the 5.9 billion people. You said, well, how can I win 5.9 billion people to the kingdom of God? We'll start with one. Start with one. You know, it's numbers increase. I mean, you know, Jesus, well, I guess, you know, well, he started with one disciple, eventually had 12. Those 12 made many more and many more and many more and many more. Now we have mega churches today. And all started with a couple of people just getting on fire for God. You know, and I know people say, well, 5.9 billion, that's a lot of people. Well, it is, but you know, Jesus told us to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature. You know, so just do it. Now, the thing about it is we need to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God. And I'm going to tell you another secret too, you know, back in those Holy Ghost services, they didn't get over in an hour. And I'm not picking on Hour Power, I get it, you know, because I'm telling you what, there are a lot of people that if we would have services like they were having, they'd be looking at their watch like, well, I'm just not sure. You know, the thing about it, and I'm not saying you got to be here till midnight because, you know, in the Pentecostal denomination that I grew up as a young kid, you know, you had to wait till midnight before the Holy Ghost would even fall. All right? The Holy Ghost can minister to you before midnight. I just want to let you know about that. You don't have to stay at church till midnight. But I've been at church after midnight before, and whenever you're a young kid, you're not really that excited about it because your stomach's growling, you're hungry, you're thinking, okay, what's open after midnight? Denny's and IHOP. Okay, we're going to go to one of those. Do you know how many times I went to Denny's and IHOP in my entire life? Because that was the only thing open. I used to fall asleep a lot of times at Denny's and wake up sometime in my bed sometime later on because I didn't remember driving home. Well, I didn't drive home. I rode home in the back of a car. And we didn't have seatbelt laws, so, they just threw you in the back. If you have a wreck, you might fall out. I know people can't relate. I mean, how many remember the before seatbelt laws were in effect and you just, hung out? In fact, we used to get a bunch of us in the back of the bed of a pickup truck, and just hanging out because you could. Now you probably get a ticket just for doing that or whatever. I don't know. But, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what? Whatever we hunger and thirst after, God's going to provide it to us. So if we really want the move of God to happen in our life, then start wanting it, start desiring. Now, how do you want and desire? How do you start out? Well, you start out praying for it, believing God. Revival starts on your knees. Revival doesn't start, in the church. It starts out in your own home on your knees. That's how it starts out. It starts whenever you have to decide yourself that you're going to get on fire for God because, it's as God anoints you. All right. Another verse that my grandfather always would read during our Holy Ghost meetings was Romans 14:17, because it says right here, talking about the kingdom of God, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right, and the way I get that is because when you're talking about a church, one of the things that you see in churches is you see a lot of times, after church, you have a lot of fellowship. And it seems, you have church and then you have people go out and they eat and they enjoy meals together. And sometimes people think, well, that's what you do at church. I mean, from a young boy, I was raised in church and that's what we did. We had fellowship one with another. But the church is more than this coming together and eating and drinking together. If that's all the church is good for, the Bible says not to forsake our assembly together, and we should have fellowship. That's a good thing. That's one reason that we just had, our anniversary, and we had a little fellowship time out there. We're going to have more and more fellowship times. For you guys who are watching online, I wish you guys could join us with the fellowship times. If you live in the Tulsa area, that'll be great. Maybe you might could even take, knowing one of our fellowship times, could just come down and come fellowship with us because you realize we have some online church members that consider themselves a member of this church, but they're never here. So, maybe something like that, you can plan a special time to come or one of our fellowship times. But it's great to have fellowship times with believers, but church is more than that. Churches, it says that it's eating, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, we all know what righteousness means. I mean, we don't have to talk about that. But notice that peace is also there. Well, I'm going to tell you, the last year and a half hasn't been very peaceful for a lot of people. Now, you're going to have to choose to have peace. And Jesus says he's the Prince of Peace. And we have to decide to have peace in the middle of a storm. And there's going to be more storms and more storms coming. And I know a lot of people are upset about a lot of things going on in this world. But you know what? I'm excited about God. And actually, if you read the word, it talks about the signs of the times. And it talks about wars and rumors of war and pestilence and famines and floods and all kinds of different things would happen. And that's the very beginning. But ultimately, there would be a great revival. So basically, it's a sign of revival is headed our way. But you know what? We're not going to have a revival if we can't get excited on the inside. If we can't get excited about the things of God, we're not going to have a revival. You know, we're just going to sit there, be a bump on the log, and come to church and do the Christian thing. We're at church, but you know what? It's time to get excited. And the revival, actually, the reason we have a revival is not for you guys in church. The reason we have a revival is for the people of the outside to come and get blessed. Come and get saved. Come and get to have their life changed. You know, it's really easy to grow your church when people are excited. But, half the people, just aren't excited about church that much. Well, I just show up because I should. There are people who are a member of church because it looks good on paper. Because I'm a Christian, I should go to church or whatever. All right, another scripture back in Matthew, and we're talking about the kingdom of God once again. Matthew 6:33, most of you can know the scripture. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What does that mean? If we'll quit thinking about the stuff and having stuff and all those things about this financial stuff and start seeking the kingdom of God, God will add the stuff to us. The stuff is a benefit, but for seeking him. The kingdom of God to me is increasing the kingdom. How do you increase the kingdom? Well, we get people saved. We get people to church. And the thing is that this is my desire, I want to fill this church up upstairs, downstairs, and I don't want to fill it up with other Christians that go to other churches. I want to fill it up with people who don't go to church. And then we want to have a huge online audience for people that weren't going to church, that didn't have a place. Because you know what? If we're really bringing hope, help, and healing to the world, then we should act like it. Amen. Yeah, but Craig, I just really don't come to church and I want to run and dance and shout because that would make me feel good. And I think we want to be feel-good Christians. We want to have, because it's exciting. It's exciting to feel good, but you know what? God is God no matter what. I mean, do you realize let's just put it this way. Okay, Dallas Cowboys are doing really good this year. I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited, but and I'm feeling really good. But I mean, if we get a few injuries and a few things like that, come playoff time, I might not be feeling any very good anymore. About our chances of going to the Super Bowl. Right now it's looking really good. But we're also only a few injuries away from not looking really good. You never know. But see, when it comes to Christianity, it doesn't matter. It's not about what you feel. I mean, we're not moved by what we feel. We have to be moved by what we know on the inside. And what we know is we know the greater one lives on the inside of us. And there's greater things that he wants to do. But you know what? We are his hands and we're his feet. And it's time for us to get excited about the things of God. If we want to see a move of God, we have to be excited about the things of God because God wants to move. And you know what? I found out that if he can't use you, then he'll find somebody else to use. Even we found in the Old Testament, he used a donkey. So if he can use a donkey, he definitely can use you. All right. Sometimes that's the thing. We have to get out of our own, thought life and our own, well, what can I do? I only have this. I only have that. It doesn't matter what have done or what you haven't done in the past. God can use you if you're just an open, willing vessel to be used by him. Now, my grandfather always would pray every day. This is something he told us to a lot of people. He said, I never one time ever prayed, God bless me. But every day I prayed, God make me a blessing to somebody today. You know, we should be praying, God, bring someone across my path today that needs to hear about you. Help me to bring hope, help, and healing to somebody today. Bring somebody who's hurting and help me to know how to minister to them, how to set them free. Because you know what? That's more important than you dancing and shouting and running. That's a whole lot more important. Because you know what? You know, dancing and shouting and running, you know, maybe it will get you in better shape. Okay, because I'm telling you what, this auditorium is not small. And you take a lap in this auditorium, and after a while, you better be in good shape to make this whole lap. I just want to let you know. All right, another scripture we read a lot in Holy Ghost meetings was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it says this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul was saying, you know what? When I was up there talking, I wasn't the best orator. I didn't even know how to put a sermon together. But what I did was I just came with the only thing I know and the only thing I want to know. I just came to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I tell you what, if you learn about Jesus Christ and him crucified, it'll change your world. And he says, I didn't come with some kind of excellent speech. You know, so you know, that's one reason I can preach, because you know, I don't have excellent speech. You know, I'm not going to blow you away with my knowledge of you know, of speech. I don't even claim to talk right. I don't even claim to know English very well. I mean, you know, I have run, you know, if I write a something on Facebook or text, I have run-on sentences and, you know, all these kind of things, you know. I mean, you know, that but it's not about that. It's about knowing who's on the inside of you, knowing that Jesus Christ, the greater one, is on the inside of you, and letting him out and pouring him out whenever you minister, whether it's through your speech or whether it's just your compassion and your mercy and your forgiveness for this world. But you know, he said, all I knew was Jesus Christ and him crucified, and everything I did was not me doing it, but it was him doing it through me. And once we figure out it's not about you, but about Jesus Christ working in you and through you, there is no limit what God can do through you. Because so many times we put limitations and say, well, I'm only this and I'm only that and I'm only going to go so far. And you know, well, you know what? You're the one that says you can only go so far. You can have what you say you can have. You can do what you say you can do. You can be what you say you can be. But if you'll just, you know, say, forget it. I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's all Paul did. He came to the church of Corinth and he says, I didn't preach good. I don't know how to preach good. I'm just telling you what I know, and what I do know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when he began to talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified, when he began to talk about what Jesus did for him, when he began to talk about how good Jesus is and how much Jesus loves you and how he wants to change your life and how you can live, you know, for an eternity and how your life can be better here on earth, that all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to fall and people's lives were changed. And he said, it wasn't me. It's all Jesus. Because I don't want you to put your faith in man's wisdom. I want you to put your faith in the power of God. And that's where so many Christians have missed it in this generation. We have put our faith in some man, some minister. You know, and I'm not, I mean, you know, they're all good people. But it's not about brother so-and-so praying for you or sister so-and-so praying for you or this person giving a word or that person giving a word. It's about the Holy Ghost giving you a word. And, you know, and it is interesting because I've been in services where I've never heard the preacher preach before. I might know the guy's name, never heard. And God has ministered to me more in his service than some big name minister. Because you know what? If you come expecting to receive only when it's some big name minister, then you have the issue, not the person ministering. You know, but we should expect to receive from God every time. We should expect God to speak to us. Whether or not we run and shout and dance, we should expect every time we come to church that God is going to speak something to me that's going to be life-changing every time. And if every time you expect church to be life-changing, you'll have a life-changing church. And if you really are on fire for God, you'll go out to this world and you'll touch this world and you'll do something, you'll be something. Because the way to win 5.9 billion people starts one person at a time. And if you're not willing to win one, you'll never, you know, win a million. And people have these great, I'm going to win a million souls in my lifetime. Well, you're too embarrassed to win one. Well, yeah, but if you let me preach at your church, then I can win a million souls. No, if you can go to Quick Trip, or you can go to Walmart, or you can go to the mall, and you can win a soul. And if you can do that, you know, because, you know, I look at someone like Todd White, one of my good friends. Todd White didn't plan to be a minister. He planned to bring Jesus wherever he was. And because the only reason he got ministry is because a church said, hey, Todd, you want to come give your testimony? Oh, sure, I'll come give my testimony. I'll tell you how good God is and how I go witness to people wherever they are. It doesn't matter. I'll go anywhere. And the guy will go anywhere, I'll tell you that. He'll go anywhere. And everywhere he goes, he talks about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everywhere he goes. But what about you? Well, you know, Craig, you know, I'm believing God for this new car, and I'm believing God for this. Well, praise God. I don't, you know, nothing wrong with that, but I'm believing God that 5.9 billion people will get saved. And I realize not everyone's going to get saved, but you know what? You know, we'll take 5.8. I mean, you know, I'll even take 5 billion, okay, at this point in time. You know, the thing about it is, where are your priorities and what do you want to happen? And I'm going to leave you off with one more scripture. And this is a scripture that we almost quoted this year 50 million times. But it was a scripture before the one that we quoted. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 we quoted I don't know how many times this year. But 2 Timothy 1:6 is very important. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It goes on to say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So Paul told Timothy to stir up the spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Now, he did talk about him laying hands upon Timothy, but you don't have to have someone lay hands on you to know the spirit of God's on the inside of you. Because if you're a born again Christian, you have to know the spirit of God's on the inside of you. So how do you get that spirit of God out? Well, you'd be begin to stir up what's on the inside of you. Well, how do you do that? I don't know, but whenever I make chocolate milk, I take out a spoon and I begin to stir it. Anyone ever make chocolate milk? You know, you put the milk in, and then you put the whatever powder, syrup, whatever your choice is. But, you know, if you just drink it like that, you'll just have milk on the top and the chocolate on the bottom. But if you stir it up and get the right consistency, then it becomes chocolate milk. It tastes a whole lot better than the milk with white on the top and chocolate on the bottom. All right? But the thing about it is, how did that happen? You begin to stir it up, and when you begin to stir it up, things begin to change. And I tell you what, if you'll begin to stir up what's on the inside of you, you'll get excited. You'll be different. You'll act different. You'll act different. You say, but Craig, I'm shy, and I can't talk to nobody. Well, God didn't make you shy. God gives you boldness. And the Bible says that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. So if you need boldness, ask for boldness. I mean, Paul is talking about how he wasn't really the best person to minister. He just was the person to minister. You know, and the thing about it is, if you're not willing to preach where you are or to speak where you are or just bring good news or just do good things or whatever, I tell you, people, whenever they're around you, they should know that you're a Christian. They should know that you're full of fire of God. They should know who you are, you know, but because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And if we want to experience you know, breakout services like we used to experience, you have to come and be a breakout person and be full of fire, full of the Holy Ghost, and expect to receive every time you come to church, no matter who's ministering, no matter what the sermon is, no matter what song we sing. It doesn't matter, because those things shouldn't matter, because God is the same God every time you come to church. And every time you come to church, you should expect to receive. But you know what? You should expect to receive at your own household. You should expect to have the same Holy Ghost times wherever you are, because it's you that's stirring up the gift of God that's on the inside of you, not me, the pastor, or the other pastoral staff putting some kind of manipulation message out there to stir up the gift, because there are pastors who do that. You know, they get people all riled up by some manipulation message. I'm going to be bold to say that. You know, but it's not about manipulating the power of the Holy Ghost. It's about you being full of the Holy Ghost and fire. It's about you understanding what to do. And you're the one that has to stir up the gift. And if you want a revival, it's going to be because of you guys. Now, I preach this on a Wednesday night because you guys are you're the core of the church. Other people come on Sunday morning, but the committed people come on Wednesday night. But you know what? If you guys will get on fire, everybody else will get on fire. I guarantee you'll see slop over blessing happening left or right. You'll show up at work and you're so excited. Like, man, why are you excited? Well, I went to church last night. Well, man, what'd they tell you at your church? Well, go to my church. I mean, I clap my hands and stomp my feet and be happy and things like that. But I don't get anything. Well, that's the problem. You need to get something, because if you really have the greater one on the inside, wouldn't you be excited about going to church? Well, I don't know. You know, the thing about it, the more excited you get, the more excited, more things you'll see. God is looking for somebody to get excited to you know what? I'm pretty excited right now. You know, I stirred myself up. But it's not about me stirring myself up. And you can stir yourself up whether you're here, whether you're back at home watching online. It doesn't matter. You can stir yourself up at any point in time. You know, and sometimes whenever you open your bills and you look at it, you need to stir yourself up and say, oh man, you know, whose report am I going to believe? You know, my God is faithful. You know, I mean, they've told us that our during this winter time, our gas bill is going to go up. It's going to cost more to heat your house. And maybe you're going to open that bill and say, oh my goodness, praise God that my God is more than enough, able to do exceedingly more than I can ask or think. And I'm excited about my God. And it doesn't matter what's going on around about me. It doesn't matter what the world says. What matters is I know who I am on the inside. And I'm here to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to anybody that steps in front of me at any point, at any time, anywhere. Praise God. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person. But Father God, we just thank you that they'll take this message today, whether they're here, whether they're watching online, they'll take this message today and they'll begin to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of them, Father. Father God, we thank you that you'll bring forth fire to these people, Father. We thank you, Father, right now that this message tonight will be life-changing, and it'll change the way they live. It'll change the way they act. It'll change the way they feel, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it, Father. Father God, we just thank you each and every day for bringing people across our path that needs hope, help, and healing. And Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, and we thank you to help us to be a blessing to somebody every day. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all